And just surrender unto me.
And just surrender unto me.
I shall deliver you.
I shall deliver you.
From all sinful reactions.
From all sinful reactions.
Do not fear.
Do not fear.
Yes. This is very important verse from Bhagavad Gita. I will read the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder acharya of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is his picture on my side, on the lower step here, on my side of the altar. So, Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion. Knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Super Soul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many ways different types of religion. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions. For the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the 7th chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 11, verse 676. So that verse is describing the process of surrender to Krishna, and it says, Anukulyasya sankalpa pradikulyasya varjanam rakshisya titi vishvaso goptritvay varanam tatam atma nikshepa karpanye shadvida sharanagati, which means, according to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious activities that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order, but if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness,
all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, and once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature, there are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. So I'll repeat the verse. Sarva dharmantur jaja mamikam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami ma shucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Om Jnanatumarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshamalatamena Trasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Hutale Swayam Rupa Kadavayam Dadati Swapadatikam Vansakalpatrubhya star creepa sindhubhya vicha paritanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse here, chapter 18, verse 66, this is coming almost at the very end of Bhagavad Gita. So here, at this point in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is bringing his teachings to a climax. He is concluding his teachings and making it very clear what is his message, his final message. What is that thing which ultimately he wants everyone to learn from studying Bhagavad Gita? As in any book, everything builds up to the end. There are so many things coming in the meantime, at the beginning, in the middle. So many things are coming. Not that they have no meaning. Of course, they all have meaning. They're all important. But in every book, and Bhagavad Gita is no different in this regard at least, in every book, everything builds up to the end, and that is the real essence of the book, the conclusion. That is what really the book is all about, what it concludes with. So, Lord Krishna is making his final point here. And if you are a little familiar with Bhagavad Gita, which not so many people are, actually, particularly these days, but if you happen to be a little familiar with Bhagavad Gita, then you would know, as in fact, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, explains here right at the beginning of his purport to this verse. Sure, now the next point. And you would know that if you're a little familiar with Bhagavad Gita, that in Bhagavad Gita, many subjects are discussed. Many subjects. In fact, Bhagavad Gita is something like a summary of all the Vedic scriptures which have come before it. The four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Vedas, the 108 or so Upanishads, the different Puranas, and Mahabharat, Ramayana, the Itihasas, the Smriti Shastras. There are many divisions which make up that great body of literatures called the Vedic scriptures. So Bhagavad Gita, that is coming towards the end. And Bhagavad Gita is summarizing everything which has come before. Lord Krishna summarizing like that, briefly describing the essential aspects of the main philosophies and main religious principles which have already been described throughout the Vedic literatures leading up to Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Krishna is expressing the fundamental elements of all those different practices and processes of meditation, of different types of worship, of different types of sacrifice, of different types of yogas, different statuses of life. All these different things are described in the Vedic scriptures, and here in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna summarizes them all very briefly, because he has a specific purpose in Bhagavad Gita. That specific purpose is to teach us, to show us, what is actually the goal of all the Vedic literatures, of all the scriptures? What is really the goal? What is really the meaning? What is the purpose of these things? So, throughout Bhagavad Gita then, Lord Krishna presents these different philosophies and the basic elements of these different processes and practices. And then at the end, where we are right now, Lord Krishna explains what is the topmost, what is the very best. And he says that all the other processes, you can put them aside. And Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. If you're a little familiar with Hindi even, then you would understand what this means very easily. Mam Ekam, to me only, Sharanam, we should take refuge, we should surrender. This is the concluding message of Lord Krishna. Now, of course, it is a fact that because in Bhagavad Gita so many other processes are described, so, therefore, it is understandable, at least, that many people might become a little confused because so many different processes are described. And it might not be so clear to them that actually there is a particular point to Bhagavad Gita, but they might think that it is offering many alternatives. You can choose as you like. In fact, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, He expressed this point, I think, very appropriately. He said that some people think that Bhagavad Gita is like a spiritual box of assorted chocolates. How does that sound? There are many processes, and you might think that I like this process, you like that process, so we will just do our own things, and it will be fine. That there's no relative values relative to each other in any of those particular processes, but you can simply do as you like. So Srila Prabhupada said that it could be seen like that, that Bhagavad Gita, people might think, it is like a box of, a spiritual box of assorted chocolates. And you all know, I'm sure we have some chocolate fans here. Someone likes the chocolate with the peppermint flavor inside. Am I right? I think so. Someone else likes the chocolate with the hard toffee filling inside. Someone might like the one with the raisins inside, or whatever it may be. It's like that, isn't it? It's just a matter of taste. It doesn't mean that if I like the peppermint one and you like the hard one, it doesn't mean that the peppermint one is better. It just means that I prefer it, that's all. It's simply an indication of our individual tastes and not some relative values that each chocolate may have with each other chocolate. So some people, they may think like that. Many people think like that about Bhagavad Gita. We're preaching Bhagavad Gita. We're teaching Bhagavad Gita all over the world. I've been doing that for 30 years now, almost 30 years, teaching Bhagavad Gita all over the world. And I've met so many, I couldn't say how many people, many, many, many people who know of Bhagavad Gita, know a little bit about it. And in many cases they think like this, that you can just choose one process or another as you like, and that is fine. So, of course, it is a fact, and a very important point is that all the processes presented in Bhagavad Gita, they are all valid. Krishna is saying here, right at the end, that you should put aside Sarva Dharma, all these other dharmas, and Mam Ekam Sharanam. He is saying that. But that doesn't mean that he is saying that the other dharmas, these different yogas, meditations, worships, forms of sacrifice, and so on, presented in Bhagavad Gita, this does not mean that they are wrong. It's not a matter like that. Just like we often get, if we meet people from other religions, you may have had experience, some of them get very competitive, and they say that our religion is better than your religion, even to the point that they think that the other person's religion, whatever it may be, is simply a lot of rubbish. But as far as we're concerned, this idea is a lot of rubbish, actually. And Lord Krishna is presenting it very nicely. There are many different types of spiritual or religious activities presented in the bona fide scriptures of the world, and particularly in the Vedic scriptures, which we are following. There are many processes presented. Actually, they're all valid. But that doesn't mean exactly that they're all equal. And Krishna is making this point here, that even amongst all those valid processes, even amongst all those different types of practices of worship or yoga or meditation, even amongst them, there is one process, there is one practice which is the best. So if one is following the other processes, there may be nothing wrong with that, following some of the processes. But actually the greatest benefit, the highest result, can be achieved through following this process which Lord Krishna is presenting here. Just to reinforce this point, so it is clear to you all, as clear as it could be, that actually this is in fact the case, and that this is actually what Lord Krishna himself is saying specifically, then I will read another verse. Verse 64. That was verse 66 which we're focusing on here. I'll read verse 64. Lord Krishna makes this point that I'm referring to in this verse 64. Lord Krishna says, Sarva guyatamam bhuya shunu me paramam vacha ishtosi me dudhami te tato vakshyami te hitam. He tells Arjuna, because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you now my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Yes. So, yeah, this is verse 64, just two verses before. And Lord Krishna is making it very clear. Sarva guyatamam bhuya shunume paramam vacha. Paramam means supreme, the very highest thing. And vacha means words. Krishna says, shrinu me. You listen to me. You listen, shrinu me paramam vacha. You listen to my supreme words, my supreme instruction. Sarva guyatamam, the most confidential knowledge of all. That is what we are reading here in this verse 66, which we're focusing on, where Krishna is saying, just give up all varieties of religion, just surrender to me, I'll deliver you from all your pap. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. I'll deliver you from all your pap. Do not fear, do not worry. This is Krishna's promise. This is the promise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in presenting, as we said, in presenting clearly like this, Lord Krishna is not really trying to minimize any process, any other process of yoga or meditation or worship or sacrifice or whatever it may be. But he's just making the point that this is actually the topmost. So if you're an intelligent person and you would like to get the topmost gain, then you do this. Very simple point. So what is that? What is that process which Krishna here, right at the end of Bhagavad Gita, his concluding words, final conclusion, what is that process? What does it consist of? What do you do? Well, he says, speaking, of course, in very broad terms, he says, you surrender to me. You surrender to me. Here in the purport, we read one verse. Srila Prabhupada gives this reference from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti Vilas is a commentary in which the important rules from the Vedic scriptures, the important do's and do nots, are extracted out and presented. Yes, a system of guidance, a code that we can live by. So in Hari Bhakti Vilas, the 11th chapter, verse 676, this very big book, then Sanatana Goswami, he explains six principles of surrender. That when we say, when Krishna says, you surrender to me, then what this implies, what it consists of, what you would do to fulfill or obey that order from Lord Krishna. Earlier on, I think most of you were here, and our devotee, Bhakta Vinesan Prabhu, just as he was, just before he began the singing for the arti initially, then he talked about this practice of lifting the hands up, right? You remember that? Both hands. That, he said, is a mudra. Mudra means a gesture of the hands, but it has symbolic meaning. Not just waving your hands around, but it has, there is some implication there. So that implication is one of surrender. And he mentioned, was it Wild Bill Hickok? No, Buffalo Bill. one of those great persons from the distant American past. So, you've all seen it, I'm sure, on TV a million times, too many times. The person comes with a gun and holds someone up or wants to arrest someone or something. And that person who is having the gun pointed at him puts his hands up and surrenders. So what does that mean? That means if the person with the gun says, you jump, then you have surrendered. Then you jump, isn't it? And if he says, you sit down, you sit down. Whatever he says you do that. That is surrender. Just like when there's a war. Then one side may lose, and then the winning side comes along and arrests all the soldiers and locks them up. So then, those soldiers who have surrendered, they are engaged in so many types of menial activity, breaking rocks, digging ditches, things like that, because they have surrendered. And now the victors, they are engaging those people in so many activities. And when you have surrendered, then, like that, in that war situation, then when they come, when they say, yes, you please dig a ditch, then you, if you have surrendered, then you cannot say that, well, today I don't feel like digging a ditch, thank you. You just get someone else. You cannot say that. Because you have surrendered. You must do it. So to surrender to Krishna means that we must do what he wants. We must serve him. We must serve him as he wants. In this material world, we're living in the material world. Generally, people are doing their own thing, so to speak. They're doing what they feel like doing, what they feel will make them happy, and they're not so concerned about other people. Generally, people are thinking like this. How can I get ahead? So people are thinking independent of God. Independently, they're thinking, let me take what I can from life and make my situation as nice as possible. Isn't it? This is going on. This is basically what people are trying to do. They may be a little charitable. Most people have a little charitable instinct. But actually, when you really analyze, you'll see that the greatest recipient of their charity is themselves. By far, they're looking after themselves, essentially. But surrender means, surrendering to Krishna means, that you will act for Krishna. You will act as he wants. You will act for his pleasure. You will not just act independently for your own pleasure. So this is the basic implication, in very simple terms, of what Lord Krishna is saying here. That instead of serving ourselves, or just our family, or our nation, or our boss, or like this, these different types of masters, but we should serve God. We should serve Krishna. And that should be in a very practical way, as he wants, doing something. Just like Krishna. Krishna, earlier in Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, he says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. He says, if you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. So he is making a specific request there. They offer food to Krishna. And what is that food? Is it just what they want? No, it is what Krishna asks for. Patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, a leaf, flower, fruit, water. In other words, things from the vegetarian kingdom. Krishna, for example. Krishna is known as Makanchor. You may have heard that. The butter thief. Or Dahi Chor. The yogurt thief. Krishna is very fond of dairy products. So if we are trying to surrender to Krishna, if we are trying to apply, to follow this final instruction that Lord Krishna is giving right here at the end of Bhagavad Gita, to surrender to Him, then that will include, among many other things, it will include that we offer our food to Him, but that is particular type of food. Of course, you might think that, well, me, I'm fond of my Kentucky fried chicken, or my McDonald's, or something like that. So, anyway, you are entitled to like whatever you may like, and we're not trying to impose on that, but our point is that you may like that, and you may think that I can offer that to Krishna, but Krishna will not accept that. So therefore, that is not exactly surrender. That is not exactly complying with what Lord Krishna is asking for. So here in this verse from Hari Bhakti Vilasa, please, six principles of surrender, six aspects of surrender are described. The first is anukulyasya sankalpa, that whatever is favorable for pleasing Krishna, that you will accept. In other words, there may be so many things favorable for serving Krishna. Some of them you may like, some of them, in terms of your own personal tastes, you might not be so keen on. But the principle is anukulyasya sankalpa, that we accept that which is favorable to serving Krishna. So the implication is that even if we feel that something is very nice for us, but if we want to surrender to Krishna, then we will not do that if we know that this is not favorable to Krishna. And on the other hand, pratikulyasya varjana, on the other hand, that if something is unfavorable for serving Krishna, we will reject it. Even if it appears, at least from our point of view, that for us, that might be favorable. From our own selfish point of view, I can give you a very vivid example. That is the example of Arjuna from Bhagavad Gita. Again, as we said, if you're a little familiar with Bhagavad Gita, then you would know that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight for that good cause. To fight for that good cause. But in the beginning, Arjuna did not want to fight. In fact, Arjuna, he threw down his bow. Within his own mind, he was thinking, if I fight, this will be bad for me. And he became so frustrated, feeling like that, he threw down his bow, and he told Krishna that, Govinda, Krishna, I will not fight. So just bear in mind that this is the same Arjuna who previously he pronounced to the world that if anyone tells me to put my bow down, he's such a great warrior, powerful warrior. He said, anyone tells me to put my bow down, I'll kill him. So he's really staunch warrior. But he himself threw his bow down. He was crying, actually. Even though he's a great warrior, he had seen many very dramatic scenes, dramatic sights in many battles. But he was crying. He threw his bow down himself and said, I will not fight. So he was thinking in his own terms what he felt was good to him. just in simply materialistic terms. But Bhagavad Gita, throughout Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is gradually bringing Arjuna to the point, convincing him that, yes, all right, I will fight. That is surrender. That is Arjuna's surrender. That even though he didn't want to do it, but when it became clear enough to him that Krishna, God, wanted him to do it, that it was favorable for serving Krishna, then even though he felt very strongly he didn't want to do it, but he didn't, he surrendered to Krishna. He did his duty for the pleasure of Krishna. So this is an example of surrender in terms of what Sunanda Goswami says here. That we should do whatever is favorable for serving Krishna and reject whatever is not favorable. Then he goes on to say that we should understand Rakshish Yatiti Vishvaso. But we should be convinced. Surrender means to be convinced that Krishna will protect me under all circumstances. So therefore I do not need to make some big endeavor to protect myself. I can just serve Krishna and leave my well-being in his hands. He will look after me. He will look after me. He will protect me. So there, of course, there are many examples. There are many examples of that. There's one nice story of Lord Ram. Lord Ram and Lord Krishna, of course, they are one. They are the same person, just appearing in two different forms. And Lord Ram is upholding and exhibiting the same principles as Krishna. So one time, after Lord Ram returned from exile, having killed Ravan and regained Sita, so he returned to Ayodhya. And if you are familiar with Ramayana, then you would know that when Lord Ram first went into exile, just after a few days, he met one hunter. The king of the hunters, Nishadha Raj, the king of the hunters. So then they went off into exile, and that hunter king, he was left behind. But then later, that hunter king, he heard that Ram has returned. He is now again the king in Ayodhya. So he came back to see Ram, to see his friend, after so many years, now that everything had been put right. So he came flying in on his chariot, and Vishvamitra, the priest of Ram's family, he was preparing one big yajna arena for a big fire sacrifice. And that Nishadha Raj, the king of the hunters, he drove his chariot, and one wheel crossed over one corner of that yajna area, which was all laid out. So Vishvamitra said that now everything is spoilt. We have to set up the whole thing again. This is very bad. And Vishvamitra is a little bit of a touchy sage. He got a little upset. He got very upset. He said, find out whoever did this, and you tell Ram he must kill him. So the hunter was with Ram when this message came. He panicked, he ran, he didn't know what to do. But Lord Ram, as we know, he was a very dutiful person. So seeing Vishvamitra ordered him, he said, all right, if I must, I'll kill this person. Very extreme, but he was willing to do that out of duty. So he came with Vishvamitra. That hunter had gone to Hanuman for some advice, some help. So Lord Ram came with Vishvamitra, and there was the hunter with Hanuman. And Vishvamitra told Lord Ram, there he is, kill him. So Lord Ram, he took one arrow, one astra, actually special type of mystical weapon. And he aimed it at the hunter and he fired. And that hunter, he was very overwhelmed. At Hanuman was there. Hanuman was just chanting, Ram, 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 and just praying to Ram, please don't do this. Why do this? He's actually a great devotee. He's your friend. There's no need to do this. So Hanuman was praying and chanting. That arrow was flying and it disappeared. Disappeared into nowhere. Lord Ram and Vishwamitra were very astonished. But Vishwamitra said, all right, just take another astra, another arrow, and fire that. So Ram did. And that hunter was crying out. And Hanuman was calling out, Ram, Ram, and praying, please, my Lord, there's no need to do this. And that arrow, again, disappeared. Finally, Lord Ram used all his arrows till he was left with only one astra, the Brahmastra, which he used to kill Ravan. So, Vishwamitra said, all right, you use that. So again, he fired that arrow. That king of the hunters, he was crying and crying. Hanuman was chanting and chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. And that weapon disappeared. Then Vishwamitra realized, there's something divine going on here. So, he was protected. He was protected. Actually, he was protected by Hanuman. Chanting, calling out, praying for the mercy of the Lord. He was protected like that. Even though against in practically impossible position. So, Rakshayishtiti Vishasa. One principle of surrender to the Lord is that we don't need to make big, big arrangements for our protection. We can depend on Krishna. We can depend on Lord Ram. We can depend on the Supreme Lord. And He will protect us. Many times we find that some person has some terrible sickness, but then miraculously they recover. Then we find sometimes that some person has some sickness, but it's not so serious, apparently. Suddenly they die. Some people, they're very sick. They have no real medical attention, but they become cured. Some other person, like there was this man, the Shah of Iran. He had his own private jet, 747. In it, he had heart trouble. In it, he had an entire heart surgery with all the equipment for open heart surgery. And whenever he would fly anywhere, there was a whole team of heart surgeons there. So he was well prepared, you could say. But what happened to him? He had a heart attack and he died. So it happens like this. It happens like this. So rather than make big efforts, just like the governments of this world, atomic bombs, chemical weapons, big armies, so much money wasted. But principle of surrender is to understand that Krishna will protect me. Rakhe Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, then no one can kill you. Even the whole world may be against you. But if Krishna wants to kill you, then the whole world may be surrounding you, trying to protect you. But you are finished. You have no chance. So we should learn like this, to depend on Krishna and not be so dependent on different material arrangements. We should also be confident that Krishna will help us, just in a very simple sense, keep body and soul together. Protect us from danger, and Krishna will help us just to maintain ourselves. We don't need to make big, big efforts to maintain ourselves. We can maintain a simple standard of living, depend on Krishna, serve Krishna. This is surrender. You may be familiar with the story of Sudama. Sudama Brahman was a great devotee. He had known Krishna. They were school friends, childhood friends at school. But then they went their own ways when they left school. And that Sudama, he was very poor. He had practically nothing. And his wife was regularly asking him, that why don't you go see Lord Krishna? He was your friend in school. He's king in Dwarka. He's so rich. We are so poor. Why don't you just go ask him, just for something, just so we can live in some reasonable way. So Sudama, he was refusing. But after a while, he agreed, all right, all right. And he went to see Krishna in Dwarka. When he met Krishna in Dwarka, there was a very wonderful reunion after so many years separate from each other. They became so absorbed in each other's association that by the time Sudama left the next morning, as he was walking away, he remembered, I forgot to ask Krishna to give me something. I'm going back empty-handed. My wife will be upset. But then he thought that actually I'm better off poor. If I had lots of money, I'd probably have a TV in every room or in every corner of every room and be watching The Bold and the Beautiful and all this sort of, you know, like rubbish or whatever it is that they force on us in TV. And he thought, you know, I'm better off just living very simply. So he didn't go back to ask Krishna, sorry, I forgot, can you please give me some money? He just carried on, he went home. However, when he arrived at home, when he arrived in that area where he was living, he noticed everything had changed. There was a big palace there. And he thought, must have taken a wrong turning somewhere, and in the wrong place. But then he looked around and he saw the surroundings, and actually this is where I live. So what happened? Am I hallucinating? What happened? Then he saw his own wife coming out of that palace, very nicely dressed, surrounded by maid servants. So then he understood. That even though I didn't ask Krishna, but he understood. So he has made this arrangement. Even beyond my wildest expectations. Way beyond that. So we have to learn like this. This is what surrender is. This is what it means. To accept those things favorable for serving Krishna. Even if according to our materialistic perspective, we might think that this may not be so advantageous for me. And we should reject those things which are not favorable for serving Krishna. We should be confident that Krishna will protect me. And we should understand that we don't need to make big efforts to make big arrangements for our comfort. Just live a simple life. Krishna will provide the necessities. And we should also be very humble, meek and humble. Yes, Krishna appreciates that. In fact, Krishna in one place says that in my devotees, I can tolerate practically any type of fault in my devotees. But there is one fault that I do not like, that is pride. That the person, the devotee is thinking that I am doing all these things by my potency. It is all me. I am so expert. When actually everything is coming by the grace of the Lord. So surrender to Krishna means that we recognize that. Everything is coming from Krishna. So it is only natural, it is only right to recognize that everything is coming from Krishna, so I should surrender to Krishna and do everything for his pleasure, utilizing everything which he has provided, using it in his service, and he'll provide for me. I don't need to be in anxiety. That is what Lord Krishna says here. Mokshayashari Masucha, you will be delivered. You will be liberated from all your pap, all your sin, all your sinful reactions. Masucha, you don't worry. You don't need to worry. Krishna is promising. God is promising. So we can accept that. We can accept the promise of the Lord. So let us try and do that. Let us try to surrender to Krishna. That is what this Hare Krishna movement is presenting to the world. And you know, I think, that our movement has spread and is spreading all over the world. Very amazing. Because this is actually something genuinely spiritual. And not only that, but this is, as Krishna says here, the topmost spiritual things. Even amongst so many things which are spiritual and very nice, but actually this is the topmost. Shrimame Paramandacha. Krishna says, this is my supreme instruction. Sarva Guyatamam. This is the most confidential knowledge. So our movement is spreading this all over the world. Personally, I travel to many places. I go to Russia. Russia is very different from South Africa. But there are many devotees. There are no Indian people. But there are many devotees. Many, many devotees there. England, America, different parts of Africa, throughout Asia, even in places like Vietnam, where there used to be a big war. But there are many devotees there. Cambodia. All these very kind of exotic places that you probably would never think of going to. But our movement has spread there. So many of the local people becoming devotees. Because actually this is, as Krishna is saying here, Paramangacha. This is the supreme process, topmost process, on the authority of the Supreme Lord. It reawakens our eternal relationship with God, which is there within our hearts, but which we have forgotten because we became absorbed in day-to-day existence. My life, getting ahead for me, like that. So we forgot. Therefore, we are presenting this, that we should try to surrender to Krishna. We should try to render devotional service to Krishna. This doesn't mean that you have to drop everything immediately. No, it means one has to learn how to mold one's life. Mold one's life in the service of the Lord. Just like Arjuna, he was a warrior. Probably you would think that if you were a warrior, then you could not serve God. It would be hard to serve God by being a warrior. But actually, Arjuna, he did that. So practically speaking, you can surrender to Krishna, you can serve Krishna by doing practically whatever is your natural duty. If you can fight for Krishna like Arjuna did, then you can be a housewife for Krishna, you can be a businessman for Krishna. Whatever you can do that for Krishna. You can do that for Krishna. That is surrender. So we have to try to learn how to mold our lives like that. So gradually we surrender. Gradually we give ourselves more to serving Krishna. Not that we expect you overnight to come to some high level of complete surrender. But gradually, gradually, we try to adopt these principles. And where does it begin? Well, the example is there with Hanuman, as we mentioned. The example is there with Hanuman, that he was chanting, Ram, 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 praying to the Lord from the heart, calling out to the Lord. particularly in this age, we're in the age of Kali Yuga right now. Actually, it's a very degraded time. So in this age, of all the different activities which one can do for Krishna, as service to Krishna, then this activity of chanting his names is number one, first activity recommended. There are many things you could do, as we said. Practically anything, whatever is your natural duty. But first step is to chant the holy names of the Lord. Chant the holy names, just like Hanuman was doing. He chanted the names of Lord Ram so sincerely that Lord Ram responded, even though he was ordered by Vishwamitra to kill that hunter, but still, by his divine arrangement, responding to that chanting of Hanuman, those weapons disappeared. So we should also try to chant like that. Chant the names of the Lord. Haryanam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kaloma Stevana Stevana Steva Gatir Anyata. Brihan Naradiya Purana says that in this age of Kali, practically there is no other activity which can help one to reach the goal like chanting the holy names. Very special activity, which anyone can do. You don't have to be rich. You don't need anything. You just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You just chant like that, sincerely, from the heart. This is the first step in surrender. Then gradually on that basis, you can learn how to mold your life in service to the Lord. Doing whatever comes naturally to you, just as fighting came naturally to Arjuna. I don't think we have so many warriors here, do we? No? So you don't have to fight. Whatever it is. You know, it isn't that Krishna is just encouraging violence by convincing Arjuna to fight. It just so happens that Arjuna was a warrior. But what if Arjuna was something else? What if he was a businessman? And he was just feeling, I can't do business any longer. I've had enough of all this lying and cheating and dodging the income tax man. I've had enough of it. I can't do it anymore. If that were the case, then Krishna would have come and told him not to fight, but to do his duty as a businessman. What if Arjuna was a housewife who was feeling, I've had enough of cleaning up after my family, making the beds and washing the clothes and cooking, and no one says thank you usually. I've had enough. I don't want to do it. Well, it could have been like that. The principle is what is important.